Is this normal? It's probably nothing serious. Maybe I'll feel better tomorrow.
Emergency symptoms can be good at hiding. That's why you shouldn't ignore symptoms like chest pain, high fever, trouble breathing, or severe stomach pain. They could be a medical emergency in disguise. Thankfully, an Eastside ER is ready to serve you 24/7 with fast wait times and dedicated ER experts, so we can quickly help turn your questions into answers. Visit eastsidemedical.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio inside the Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio is cared for by Eastside Medical Center, providing quality care to Gwinnett County and the greater Atlanta area for over 38 years.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I'm Mike Salmond, alongside my partner in crime, Stephen Julian.
Hey, Mike, long time no see.
It has been a long time, has it not?
Gwinnett Business Radio is growing because you're not here. You're out doing stuff and meeting business leaders. Amanda and I did a show. Duffy and I did a show. Now I'm back with you, and it's good to be back in the co-captain's chair.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Oh, man. Do you want me to break into song? No, you do not. But what you do want me to do is remind everybody that love is what makes a Subaru. Our listeners can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience at Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. Visit SubaruGwinnett.com and join their family today. Come in and see the difference. Or maybe, like Mike, you're already a Subaruist. Then follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events. Like Mike, if I could be like Mike. There you go. That was my
That reunited. Singing. Wasn't that Carly Simon?
Oh, man, I'm so bad at who did certain songs.
Oh, okay.
So I'll say yes.
Okay, thank you for agreeing.
Our listeners will correct us. Now, go on with the show.
We are excited. As you know by now, this show is cared for by Eastside Medical Center. And each month, we dedicate one show to Eastside Medical Center. And May is Stroke Awareness Month. So this month, Eastside Medical Center is a certified primary stroke center, so we have some experts here, some doctors from Eastside Medical Center, as we talk about Stroke Awareness Month. Joining us on the program today is Dr. Matthew Goldstein, Medical Director of Emergency Services, Dr. Pinkish Buta, he's the Medical Director of Hospital Medicine, and Dr. Latia Brown, and it says here, Latia, Hospitalist Neurology.
Yes, that's it.
All right.
I'm a neurologist who only works in the hospital.
Ah. Oh, okay. Well, that explains hospitalist.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I got it. We've learned something, Mike.
All right. Well, Stroke Awareness Month. The very first question, and I'll ask you, Dr. Mm-hmm. Brown, what exactly is a stroke, and are there different types of strokes?
Okay, absolutely. So, yes, there are two types of stroke. The first type of stroke and the most common type of stroke is an ischemic stroke. And so ischemic just means that the brain goes without blood flow, okay? And those are the types that we'll mostly focus on because they are most common. Anywhere from 70 to 80% of patients who have stroke will have an ischemic stroke. The other type of stroke is a hemorrhagic stroke, and that means there's bleeding in the brain, okay?
All right.
So that leads to the next, I think, fairly obvious question, and all of you can chime in on this as you feel comfortable. What are the signs and the symptoms? So you kind of gave a great definition of a stroke. What are some of the signs and symptoms that we should be looking for and we should maybe be very cautious of and think, hey, I might be having a stroke?
So a mnemonic that we like to use is called BFAST. The B stands for balance. So if your balance is off, you know, with the other symptoms, then that might mean that you might be having a stroke. Then the E stands for equilibrium. So if your equilibrium is off, that also might mean you're having a stroke. The F stands for face. So if your face is drooping on one side or the other, you know, that could mean that you're having a stroke. Then the A is for arm. So if you stretch your arms out and then one arm starts to drift or droop, that might mean that you might need to get attention. All right, and then the S stands for speech. So if your speech is slurred, or you can think of the words that you want to say, but you're having trouble getting the words out, that could mean you're having a stroke. And then the T, and a lot of times, is the most important. That means time. So time is brain. So that means call 911 immediately and get to your nearest emergency room.
My follow-up on that is, I was going to say, is this an old person thing? I mean, if you're 35 years old, I mean, are you likely to have a stroke?
Not necessarily. We're actually recently starting to see patients that are coming in their 40s, early 40s, with signs and symptoms of stroke. So we were becoming really heightening our awareness in terms of, you know, like Dr. Brown said, looking at those symptoms, getting those symptoms awareness out in the community so that, you know, family members, patients can really get an understanding of what to look for and make sure that they're, you know, they're not missing out on an opportunity to come in early. Because when you think about a stroke, time is brain is really the true, you know, saying that we use, because you want to do everything you can to minimize brain injury when it comes to strokes.
Dr. Goldstein, I want to ask you this question. As the director of emergency services, I would imagine when people think they might be having a stroke, a lot of them come to the ER. And from someone who's an outsider, I've heard some of the terminology of, you know, WebMD, people looking up their symptoms online and thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm having this, I'm having that. And many times they're not quite right. With this be fast and six different things, you don't need to wait for all six. At what point, how many of these things can happen before they should get to the emergency room or call the hospital?
Excuse me, that's a great question. When it comes to signs and symptoms of a stroke, having just one of those, that mnemonic be fast, is important to recognize and seek medical care. I often tell patients, I'd much rather you come to the emergency department and get checked out, and hopefully I give you a clean bill of health and send you home, than for you to sit at home and wait because you don't find this serious.
So the WebMD panic syndrome, that's my word, not yours, but the WebMD panic syndrome about so many other things, but with stroke, that is one of the things that it's better to be safe than sorry.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
And just to chime in on that,
please.
You know, one of the parts of the mnemonic there is also vision loss. So the E can also stand for your eyes, and you want to make sure that, you know, you're not forgetting about patients who can have a sudden onset of vision loss or vision blurred, you know, blurriness. You know, Dr. Goldstein was just mentioning a example this morning about a patient that came in. I don't know if he wanted to kind of chime in, and it was a pretty good pickup to look for signs of stroke in somebody who was just coming in simply with vision loss symptoms.
Ooh, he set you up there, Dr. Goldstein. Knock it out of the park.
That was perfect. Thank you. Yeah, we saw a patient just yesterday who came into the emergency department walking, talking, looked great, but had some peripheral vision loss. And that was unusual for him, and he decided to seek medical care. Initially, it had been seen by an ophthalmologist who didn't think it was necessarily an eye issue, that perhaps this may be a stroke. And the patient came to the emergency department, and we timely recognized these symptoms, and he was diagnosed with a stroke based on just visual changes.
All right, again, as we talk about May and Stroke Awareness Month, we have some excellent doctors here from Eastside Medical Center. One of the questions I want to address to you, Dr. Butta, is, are there certain risk factors that may cause someone to, that may, Stephen or myself, maybe have more chance of a stroke than, say, somebody else? What are some of the risk factors we should be looking for?
Sure. I think that's a great question as well. You know, one of the things we always ask for when we see patients is there a family history? Because you always want to see if somebody in the family's had a stroke and be aware of that. You know, if you have a history of hypertension, that is a major cause of ischemic stroke and even hemorrhagic stroke. If you have a history of high cholesterol, you know, that's something you want to keep an eye out for. Diabetes is a major cause too for stroke. And any sort of atherosclerotic disease can predispose patients to stroke. Dr. Brown, did you have any other areas that you think might be helpful in terms of looking out, you know, when you look at your medical history?
So no, those are definitely the main ones. I think I could say more even about hypertension. You know, they don't call hypertension the silent killer for no reason. So a lot of people will have high blood pressure and push it off and not think that it's an emergency, but actually it is, and it is one of the main risk factors for stroke. So if your blood pressure is high, you really do need to get it checked out, even if you aren't really having any symptoms.
So I'm allowed one ignorant question every show. If I get to a second one, they kick me out of the studio. So here's going to be what I think might be my ignorant question of the day. Mm-hmm. We talked about hypertension being a risk factor, and then you mentioned high blood pressure. Is there a difference between hypertension and high blood pressure, or are those the same thing?
Those are the same thing.
Okay. Now, was that an ignorant question?
No.
All right, I still got one more. Dr. Brown said, I don't care what the other two say. She already said, well, they were shaking their head no, so I'm still good.
Well, on top of that, then, are there things that we can proactively do to help reduce our risk of a stroke?
Well, I can chime in on that and just add additional risk factors, which we didn't touch on, include smoking. So we all have that talk with our patients about the importance of cessation or stop smoking. And heart disease, irregular heartbeats such as atrial fibrillation can also predispose patients to stroke. So if those being some risk factors that we discussed, there certainly are things our patients can do to reduce the risk of stroke, including controlling their blood sugars with the help of their physicians, their blood pressure for their hypertension.
And a lot of those symptoms and a lot of those risk factors are very similar to much that you'd find with a heart attack or heart problems. Obviously, the lack of blood flow to the brain being one of the major reasons of a stroke, it's obvious why the heart would be tied with this. So there's a lot of things that can be taken care of with heart healthiness and better diet and lower blood sugar and all those kinds of things.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think one of the other things that's important is, we want to be proactive when it comes to preventing strokes. And that's why we encourage our patients to follow up with their primary care physicians on an annual basis. If they, even if they haven't had a stroke, they're coming in with other, other symptoms to the hospital. We want to make sure that they're following up with their primary care physicians and really keeping track of their blood pressure, their cholesterol, making sure that tobacco cessation is discussed, as Dr. Goldstein said, and really kind of making sure that their diet and their exercise is also looked at.
I was going to mention that because Stephen is usually got the ignorant question, that, as he likes to say. I'm usually Captain Obvious, and my Captain Obvious statement was going to be eat right and exercise. That's going to help across all levels.
Mm-hmm. Well done. You didn't even give it a question. You just made
I wasn't making a question. I was going to give my Captain Obvious statement.
There you go. Mike Salmon with Captain Obvious advice for everyone listening. So Dr. Goldstein is the Director of Emergency Services. Not all, but a lot of stroke patients come through the ER with these symptoms. So my question was going to be, talk about the care that a potential stroke patient will get starting in the ER, and then maybe we can continue down the table of what happens after they leave the ER.
Sure. Well, when a patient arrives in the emergency department and presents to triage or comes via EMS, an ambulance, with signs or symptoms of a stroke, we have a designated area called our stroke assessment area in the emergency department. A patient is brought directly to that stretcher, and a stroke alert is called overhead in the emergency department. Both the nursing staff and the physician respond immediately to the stroke alert, recognizing, as we mentioned earlier, that time is brain, and we've got to do everything we can to increase blood flow to the brain in the event of a stroke. Once we do an assessment of the patient and check their vital signs and establish an IV, we take them immediately to CT, where they get a CT scan of the brain, which is a diagnostic test looking for a potential stroke. From there, we either recognize that they are having a stroke or they're having a different medical condition that can be contributing to their presentation. And depending on the situation, we then act on it, and we can talk a little more about how we treat strokes.
Well, let's do that. So I would assume at that point they move from the ER and they start getting treatment elsewhere, correct? Most times or sometimes.
Well, actually, we begin treatment immediately in the emergency department. So oftentimes we'll consult Dr. Brown and she'll help guide therapeutic treatment plan. If the patient is a candidate for certain medications called TPA, or often known as like a clot-busting agent, we can administer that right away. Our goal, our standard, is to deliver that in less than 60 minutes from arrival. Once we've evaluated the patient, recognize that they have a stroke, and we administer this medication, that's our standard. Obviously, the more rapid, more quickly we do it, the better. But it's a medicine that's only used for patients having what we talked about earlier, the ischemic type stroke.
So Dr. Brown, Dr. Buta, let's bring you in on the conversation. So we've talked about in the emergency department, what are some of the other standards of care? What are some of the things that continue on in treating a stroke?
So once you've been evaluated by the emergency room physician, then a lot of times I'll come in and I'll order, you know, additional tests. A lot of times we'll do an MRI of the brain. The MRI is just a more fancy x-ray than the CT. And sometimes the CT, well, a lot of times actually, the CT won't show an ischemic stroke, but an MRI will. And then we'll also do tests with the MRI that specifically look at the blood vessels, and that's called an MRA. So we'll look at the blood vessels and see if we see any blockages or any clots or anything there. Now, actually, before I even get involved, sometimes they'll look at the blood vessels. And if they see a clot in the blood vessels that they think might be able to be removed, sometimes we'll actually fly patients out to a primary stroke center, a comprehensive stroke center, where they can sometimes go in and actually remove those clots. And around here, we usually send them to Grady.
So, you know, I usually look at stroke management when patients come to the hospital in three parts. And one is assessment that takes place in the emergency room, and, you know, you determine whether a patient is appropriate to get this clot-busting agent or not. You know, subsequently, once the assessment portion is complete, then the hospital medicine team will admit that patient to the hospital. And that could be in the intensive care unit, depending on the severity of their stroke, especially if they have a bleed. You know, if it's a hemorrhagic stroke, then we're definitely going to admit them to the intensive care unit and monitor them closely. And then comes the management portion. And management is really, you know, closely monitoring the patient, but also figuring out the underlying cause of their stroke. And there's a lot of parts to that. And then the third portion of it is the rehabilitation portion of it, which is also a major part of stroke. And we can go into a little bit more details in each of those portions, but you know, from the hospital medicine side, our focus is to really, you know, once the patient stabilized in the emergency room, we will resume care there along with Dr. Brown's consultation to kind of move things forward in that pathway.
Question I have is you sometimes run into people that have had strokes and you can tell through their speech or the face looks a little different. Can you go back to 100% the way you were before a stroke? Is that possible through the rehab, through the treatments?
Yes, that's absolutely possible. Now, if you got an MRI scan or a CT scan, you'd always be able to tell that something happened in that area. But yes, we often have patients who have 100% recovery.
To the naked eye, you might not be able to tell.
You won't be able to tell.
And I guess the key is to get it treated as early as possible,
yes.
Which goes back to what we talked about at the top of the show. If there's any doubt, you think someone's having a stroke, time is of the essence.
Yes.
There's no such thing as it's just a minor stroke. It'll go. Don't worry about it. It'll go away.
Exactly. And you're, you know, the brain is a very interesting organ. It has collateral circulation, which means that there's, even though that part of the blood flow may be affected, there's other areas that send blood flow to that part of the brain. And so a certain type of treatment that we do when patients come to the emergency room with an ischemic stroke is, you know, we try to keep their blood pressure a little bit higher in the initial 24 hours to allow pressure to allow blood flow to that area. And that helps significantly with the recovery process as well.
But you also touched on, Mike, strokes that go away. Mm-hmm. And there's such a thing called a TIA, or a transient ischemic attack. So that's what we call a mini stroke. And those are patients who have symptoms or signs of a stroke, mm-hmm. and it goes away. And a lot of times those patients say, well, I'm okay. I don't need to seek medical care. And the message we would all share to the community is, if you're having signs of a mini stroke and temporarily have these deficits that then go away, you should still seek medical care emergently, because it's a foreshadowing of a larger stroke.
Right.
So always be looking to take care of it early or as soon as possible. But let's also move into that after the event has happened, or after they're seeking care. What does the rehab look like? What does the recovery look like? What are the highlights and hard points and things that people need to be ready for if they're going to be recovering from this event?
Right. So if you're not well enough to go home, then you'll either do, or I'm sorry, if you need therapy services, you'll either have outpatient therapy services or you'll actually go to a rehab center. And so some patients will go to a rehab center and they might stay anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. And what they'll do is the physical therapist, the occupational therapist, and the speech therapist will evaluate you in the hospital, and they'll set goals for you that you'll be able to walk so many feet, that you'll be able to brush your hair, you'll be able to cook dinner, or whatever your goals might be. Everybody's goals would be individualized. And so then once you go to the rehab center, then they would focus on those goals. And so let's say if you met your goals within 1 week and they had, you know, originally said that you'd be there 2 weeks, after 1 week you get to go home because you met all of your goals. And then the same thing would happen if you went to an outpatient facility. You'd go home and you'd stay at home every night, but then you'd go there anywhere from 2 to 3 times a week and you'd work on your goals. At our Eastside Rehab facility, you know, when you stay overnight, you stay there, your family can actually come and they can stay with you. So, you know, sometimes patients are afraid because they don't want to be there by themselves. The other thing to note is that you wear your own clothes. So it's not really like a hospital setting. They're not waking you up during the night. So it really is a much more relaxed setting than actually being in the hospital.
You can actually get a good night's sleep.
You can actually get a good night's sleep at rehab, yes.
How often do strokes happen? How many patients do you see? How many come through the ER? Is this you know, you hear about strokes. Is it as common as you might think?
In a community the size of Gwinnett County, yes, we see a handful of stroke patients or patients presenting with stroke-like symptoms every day.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that was, mm-hmm. and Dr. Buda made the comment, hey, we had one yesterday. So, I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. it's almost a day doesn't go by where you guys aren't dealing with this. So sure, let me piggyback on that question and ask, you know, this May is Stroke Awareness Month. And one of the things we love about Eastside is you guys don't stay behind the doors and go, oh, we'll be here when you're ready. You guys go outside the hospital. You guys go out into the community. Talk about some of the community efforts, specifically as it involves May Stroke Awareness Month, because this interview is not the only thing you guys are doing.
Right. Well, we're happy to participate and educate the community. Three of us are glad to be here today. Just last week, I gave a presentation on stroke to the community. We had about 80 members of the community come to Eastside Medical Center, and we talked about stroke, and we touched base on issues of risk factors and what a stroke is and how we treat strokes, and we talked a little bit about rehab and prevention, and that was very well received.
When it comes to all kinds of healthcare, education is so key, right? Mm-hmm. And so you guys do these events at the hospital. Dr. Brown, you've said that you've done things in the past. So you guys do things at the hospital and you do other things out in the community to potentially, you know, talk about this and other health factors?
Yes, we do. I mean, I think education is key. If you know what to do when you're having these symptoms, you have a much better chance of having a full recovery.
As we talk about Stroke Awareness Month and strokes, of course, and we have three experts here sitting at the table, obviously, it's clear that Eastside Medical Center is one of the top facilities to go to when you are suffering from a stroke or think you're suffering from a stroke. So I'll give you a chance as we get ready to close out the show to talk about what it is about Eastside Medical Center that makes it the place where you probably need to take your loved one or yourself if you think you're suffering from a stroke. And we'll start with you, Dr. Brown, and go right down the table.
So when you come to Eastside, you'll be evaluated by a team of physicians. You'll be evaluated by the emergency room physician, by myself, the neurologist, and also by the hospital medicine team. So you'll have, you know, all these people that will look at not just your stroke, but your other medical issues and put everything together as a full person and look at everything that might be contributing to your stroke.
Can I add a question here where a stroke obviously doesn't have a 9-to-5 time frame?
Right.
No matter when the stroke is, you can feel confident that you're going to get the top-notch care.
Right. There's somebody from each team there 24/7 all the time.
Yeah, and I think Dr. Brown said that very well. It's really a team approach in caring for patients. You know, and it doesn't only translate to our physicians, but also our nursing staff, you know, all the ancillary staff that's involved in the care of the stroke, you know, all the way to our case managers that really focus on making sure that we are, you know, getting the right assessments for patients and helping them transition either to home or to a rehab facility. and receive the services, rehabilitation services that they need from speech therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy to help recover from their stroke.
Piggybacking on all that, I'd also touch base on just the commitment. You have the commitment of the neurologist, commitment of the hospitalist, the emergency physician, the nursing staff. We have a stroke coordinator at Eastside Medical Center whose sole job is to help with the care and management and throughput of our stroke patients. So this team approach really is what allows us to be successful in treating patients comprehensively when it comes to stroke care.
A lot of great information on this show. I hope people will take it to heart. If there's one takeaway that people take away when it comes to strokes, I'll do the same thing and I'll go reverse order now down the table. What's the one takeaway you hope people will remember when it comes to strokes? You may all say the same thing, by the way.
Well, as the emergency physician, I would say if you're having any signs or symptoms of a stroke, when we refer to the mnemonic be fast, seek medical care. Come to the emergency department, call EMS, talk to your primary care doctor, but seek medical care quickly.
And just to piggyback on that, I think also, you know, be aware of your risk factors. I think that's very important. You know, don't be hesitant to ask your primary care doctor. If you are having signs or symptoms, you know, definitely go to your nearest emergency room or come to Eastside. We will do our best to make sure that you receive the excellent care that you need for your stroke.
And I would end with time is brain. You know, if you're having symptoms, stop whatever you're doing. If you see your family member having symptoms, stop whatever you're doing. Call EMS right then and get there.
Great. Well, we want to thank all our experts for joining us here on the show today, Dr. Matthew Goldstein, Dr. Pinkish Buta, and Dr. Latia Brown for joining us from Eastside Medical Center as we talk about strokes and Stroke Awareness Month here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Mike, do you remember what BFAST stands for?
BFAST?
Yeah.
Breakfast.
Yeah. No, from this interview. See, I took notes.
The B is balance.
Well done. E?
The E? Yes, because I remember, yes, I remember Pinkish saying that E is the eye.
The eye, yep. F?
The others I missed.
Face.
Okay.
A is the arm.
I'm getting hints from all the doctors.
Yeah, they're doing charades over here. They're very good at it, too. S is speech, and T is time. So brain is time. That's the one thing. And then remembering what BFAST stands for. So I took notes. So I'm a partner. I'm your co-captain.
Well, the great thing about this show is you can listen to it time and time again.
There you go. Listen
anytime you want to listen to the show, go to businessradiox.com, select the Gwinnett Studio, and click on Gwinnett Business Radio, and you'll see this episode.
So the other thing I love is the start of our show says that Gwinnett Business Radio is cared for by Eastside Medical, and we've been cared for today by these three great doctors. We've been cared for every month when they do a different focus, and we hope you guys listen to those shows because quality care close to home. Eastside Medical Center has been a community healthcare leader for over 39 years. Nationally recognized for patient safety, Eastside focuses on delivering quality care with exceptional outcomes by utilizing the most advanced technology and experienced physicians, three of whom are in the studio with us today. For more information on Eastside's system of care, visit eastsidemedical.com.
And we don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk. Later today, I'm taking my son to Eastside Medical Center.
Yeah,
because
unexpected, but
might have torn something in his knee. So yeah. Is there an orthopedic or orthopedic
month.
Awareness month? Maybe we got one of those shows coming up soon.
Connor
or sports injury.
Yeah, that's right. Connor can be the poster child of that.
I will have him come in on that show and be part of that show.
That's right. That'll be great. Also want to remind everybody that Business Radio X partners with a lot of great businesses in the community. We are proud to partner with Nathalie Tabarez Photography. Nathalie's main focus is to capture beautiful memories for you and your family, but then she will also guide you and help select the perfect pieces of wall art to display those images. Your images deserve a place on your walls, not to be stuck in a hard drive. Nathalie Tabarez Photography, fine portraits, and wall design. That second part is very, very important, as we learned from our interview with her a few weeks back. Your best option to have tangible memories of you and your family. For more, visit NathalieTabarezPhotography.com, NathalieTabarez Photography.com.
I want to thank our doctors once again for joining us, our producer Trey as well for all the great work behind the scenes, you, Steven, as well. And I'd be remiss if I did not thank Hope. Absolutely. She does the marketing and PR for Eastside Medical Center. I think all the doctors are shaking their head in agreement. She does a wonderful job organizing this show and doing all the PR and marketing for the hospital.
And I would be remiss if I didn't point out the greatest producer in the podcasting world, Trey, did point out to me that Reunited was not Carly Simon. It was Peaches and Herb.
Oh, wow. Well done. And on that note, and for everybody here, we'll see you next time here on Gwinnett Business Radio.